Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Let's see, I have the announcements. The August mission of the month is Danielle's House, and we collect that today. The next Ginny's lunch will be August 28th at noon, and the menu is submarine sandwiches, chips, and dessert. Worship services will start at 10:30 on September 7th. Sunday school will begin also on September 7th at 10:30, and we'll be meeting downstairs. The September craft classes will be on the 13th and the 27th. If you plan to attend, please register with Nancy Gore. There will be a concert by Vicki Truitt here on September 28th at 5:30. We are also having a craft fair November 8th. If you know of any crafters that may want to come, please see Linda Foote for an application. Craig is organizing ushers and greeters. Please see him if you are willing to serve. We are starting to collect snacks for the elementary school children. Please see Karen Carr or Linda Young. And don't forget, we have a fundraiser for the Reese for Veterans with the Reese Across America. Please see Nancy Gore. And the September newsletter is available in the back. It's a big one. And is there anybody else who has anything? Nancy?
In reference to Sunday school, the first week of Sunday school we'll be meeting downstairs at 10:30. From after that, we will come to church first with the little ones, and then go down when we get to the second hymn, and then we'll go downstairs. Also, if you have your grandchildren or niece, nephews, or whatever, and they're just here for that Sunday, let them come down to Sunday school. We'll be more than happy to have them. Craft fair. If you know anybody who wants to sign up for the craft fair, tell them to do it soon because I'm amazed at how fast it's filling up and we're almost 3/4 full of it. So let them know.
Anybody else? Alrighty. And I guess we'll prepare for worship during this time of prelude. Receive His grace. Okay, please join in the introit. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Our sentences this morning are Psalm 34, 1 through 8. I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes it boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Look to him and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy is the man who takes refuge in him. Let us join in hymn 59, I Sing the Mighty Power of God. While he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Join me in the prayer of confession. Almighty God, we have sinned against you and one another in thought, word, and deed. And in what we have done, and in what we have left undone, therefore we pray in silence before you. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases. People of God, believe this good news. Let us live in the loving kindness of our God.
Lord, have mercy on us. Come and heal our land. Cleanse with your fire. Touch, humbly we bow and call.
now join me in the Apostles' Creed, which is found in the front of your hymnal. Almighty God, we have sinned against you. Whoops, sorry, that's the other one. My mistake. Yep. So sorry, people. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated.
The reading of the Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Our words of assurance this morning are taken from Romans 10, verses 5 through 15. Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on a law shall live by it. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring down Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Because if we confess with your lips, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you will be saved. For man believes with his heart and so is justified, and he confesses with his lips so he is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and bestows his riches upon all who call upon him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are men to call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? And how can men preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. Our music today is I Praise You, My Father.
Thank you.
Please join us in our next hymn, number 460, All the Way My Savior Leads Me.
Please be seated. Before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. Gracious God, open our eyes that we might see. Open our ears that we might hear. Open our hearts that we might receive what you have prepared for us today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, this week's sermon is a single verse. And it is Matthew chapter 16, verse 15. It's page 17 in the Pew Bible. And I'll give you context behind it a little bit later. But Matthew 16, verse 15 says this. He said to them, he being Jesus, but who do you say that I am? Now, we've heard it all before with celebrities or high-ranking officials. They're arrested for a crime or a traffic violation, and they attempt to use their celebrity and status as influence to get out of whatever they've been charged with. If you've been paying attention this past week, you saw that Assistant Attorney General Devin Flanagan from Rhode Island went viral this week because she was arrested for trespassing and told the police officers they would regret what they were going to do. Don't you know who I am? It's a typical, don't you know who I am? Power, influence. I'm going to sway your decision based upon who I am. Now, Jesus never used that tactic, but he did question his disciples about it. Think about the calling of his disciples. He didn't jump up to them and say, hey, I'm the Son of God, follow me. Rather, he challenges them to stop what they're doing and following him. Simon Peter is a fisherman and is as is Andrew. Jesus calls to them and says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately drop their nets and follow Jesus. Later, he meets up with James and John, also fishermen. He calls them, and they follow as well. Now, you have to remember, back in Jesus' day, fishermen were among those who did not hold a very high standing. Basically, it was because of their work, they were unceremoniously unclean, and they didn't go to synagogue that often. They weren't allowed in. They weren't considered spiritual people, let alone spiritual leaders. Jesus then calls Matthew, a tax collector. Now, this is considered a sinful profession by most Jews, since he was collecting taxes for the hated Romans. When people couldn't pay tribute on that, Matthew would tack on really high interest charges. He even did it to Simon Peter. So when Jesus calls Matthew, who's the first to jump to remind him, he's a tax collector. Why would we want to be around him? Simon Peter talks about other affiliations with the Romans. Jesus calls Simon the Zealot. Now, his title suggests a political affiliation against the Romans, as most zealots were, a group known for their radical opposition rather than a specific occupation. And then there's Judas, who's in charge of all the money. While Thomas, Bartholomew, and Philip's professions are not specifically mentioned in the Bible, it is speculated that they are fishermen as well. So, now Jesus has this ragtag group of people not well received by their brethren because of their profession or political views. Wherever they go, the people know who the apostles are, but not Jesus. They have heard rumors, and his fame starts to grow. And as Jesus teaches his disciples, they view firsthand his miracles, turning water into wine at the wedding of Cana, the feeding of the 5,000, the raising of Lazarus and others from the dead, the casting out of demons, making the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the blind to see, and the dumb to speak. In Mark chapter 4, verses 38 to 41, the disciples are crossing the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is sleeping, but the winds are fierce. The waves hit the boat, and most of them being fishermen, they know they're in a lot of trouble. They wake Jesus, and he, starting in verse 38, says that he was hindered in the back part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him. And he say unto them, "Master, carest thou that we not perish?" And he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, and said to one another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Do they know who he is?" Did you know that Jesus asks 305 questions in the Bible? Not one of them is a when question. While you'll find the word when in 11 of them, his questions never center around when, and that when is the emphasis. Jesus then spoke to his disciples, and in particular to Simon Peter. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20, and now I'll bring in the context of the main verse. Jesus came into the country, Caesarea Philippi. He asked his followers, "Who do the people say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now look at that verse. He tells them who he is, the Son of Man. Jesus frequently uses that term, Son of Man, to refer to himself, emphasizing his human nature, while also hinting at his messianic role and future judgment. They said, "Some say you are John the Baptist, Now, we all know that's not true, because John the Baptist is locked up in a jail. Some say you're Elijah. Others say you're Jeremiah, or one of their early preachers. So again, he looks at them and say, "But who do you say I am?" First man to jump to the front is Simon Peter. He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus says to him, "Simon, son of Jonah, you are happy because you did not learn this from man. My Father in heaven has shown this to you." And now Jesus renames Simon. "And I tell you that you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church. The powers of hell will not be able to have power over my church. I will give you the keys to the holy nation of heaven. Whatever you do not allow on earth will not be allowed in heaven. Whatever you do allow on earth will be allowed in heaven as well." Then the strong words he told his followers to tell no one he was the Christ. Now that's a seemingly paradoxical command. I told you who I am, but don't tell anybody else. It's referred to as the messianic secret. It reflects Jesus' strategy and strategic decision to manage the public's perception of his mission and to avoid premature confrontation with authorities who expected a political Messiah. If you read throughout other pages in the Bible, his disciples say, "When are you going to establish your kingdom?" Thinking, "When are you going to overthrow the Roman government that has oppressive control over us?" That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's told them who he is, and now again, he said it out loud. Do they know who he is now? Jesus and the apostles travel to Jerusalem. The apostles know this is the place where prophets come to die. The hour comes when Jesus is arrested and taken to be judged. That same Peter that says, "You are the Christ," denies him three times. Surely he must know who he is now. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 54, and in Mark chapter 15, verse 39, after witnessing the crucifixion of Jesus, a Roman centurion, a man that commands over 100 men, says, "Truly, this was the Son of God." It signifies that the centurion's recognition of Jesus' divine nature based on the events surrounding his death, including the earthquake and the darkness, the tearing of the temple veil from top to bottom. It signifies the end of the old covenant and the beginning of the new covenant through Jesus Christ. It represents the removal of the barrier between God and humanity, granting direct access to God's presence through Jesus Christ's sacrifice. The veil, torn from top to bottom, symbolizes God's action, signifying that the way to God is now open to all that believe in Jesus. Now, that statement by the Roman centurion is significant because it comes from a Roman soldier, a non-Jewish believer, who recognized Jesus' divinity and he knew who he was. So now I ask you, do you know who he is? The one and only Son of God and the Son of Man, your Savior, your King, your Redeemer, your salvation, your way, your truth, your life. Jesus said unto them in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." In closing, remember this. God's love is unchanging. His abundant love and grace far exceed our wildest expectations. It's his agape love for us, and it's hard to, at times, to grasp that concept. But fortunately, for all of us in this room, and all believers, we know who he is. Let us pray. Lord God, by the power of your Spirit, give us strength to live out this message that we have heard today. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. I'll now ask our ushers to come forward to receive our tithes and offerings. And today's mission of the month is Danielle's House. Good morning again, everyone. We'll begin with our joys and concerns. I have three right off the bat for you that we could pray for. We could pray for Linda Cutbirth and her friend Susan. They're both not feeling well today. And they also have a friend whose name is Joanne. I do not know Joanne's last name, but she's having some medical issues. So we'll pray for those three individuals. Is there anyone else? Yes, Nancy.
I just wanted to let everybody know that Laura's father did come home from the hospital earlier this week. I haven't heard anything since, so hopefully he's still doing good.
Okay. Anyone else? Yes?
The prayer chain that went out was for Tracy Gasso. It's a friend of ours whose daughter is suffering from effects of cancer. They thought she was in remission, and now maybe not.
Okay. So Tracy Gasso's daughter. You don't happen to know her name?
No, that is her name.
That's
oh, Tracy Gasso is the daughter.
That's her name.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
We know her parents.
Very good. Okay. Anyone else? Yes, Linda.
Craig, I want to say thank you for that sermon. You did a spectacular job. Mm-hmm. I think Kent has taught us well.
He has.
And it warms my heart that this church can take care of itself. And thank you for that.
You're very much welcome. When we knew he was going on vacation, my state work ethic kicks in, and my Boy Scouts kick in and says, always be prepared, because you never know when you're going to get called upon. Believe it or not, I started working on that message well over a month ago, and I hadn't, you know, if he goes, he goes. If he doesn't, he doesn't. That's okay. It doesn't matter. But at least you're prepared. And Linda will tell you that I sat at the dining room table and changed it at least 3 or 4 times. So, yeah, you hear different things. And with the thing with the Attorney General just happened this week, so I had one to toss that in there as well. So, anyone else? Yes, sir.
Yeah, pray for one of my neighbors, Ron Myers.
Ron Myers. Okay. Anyone else? Seeing none, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings you put upon us and give us each and every day. For the birds of the air, the sun in the morning, the moon at night. For the air that we breathe, the food that we eat. And for all the blessings you bestow upon us. We now ask, Lord, that you listen to these petitions of people who seek your help and guidance. We pray for our Linda Cuthbert, for Susan and Joanne. You know that their issues and you know their needs. And we ask that you place your physician's hand upon them and heal them, whatever their need may be. Lord, we thank you for Laura Britton's father, that he has come home. We don't know his full condition, but we thank you that you have watched over him and have healed him thus far. You've given guidance to his doctors, and we thank you for that. We sing your praises for all the work that you've done in his life so far. We also pray for Tracy Gasso. We pray, Lord, that you know of her cancer, that it might have been a remission, but we pray again that you will place your healing hand upon her. You are the great physician, and that you can heal all her ills. We have great faith in that, and the prayers of many availeth much. We also pray for Ron Myers. You know his needs, you know what is going on in his life, and we ask that whatever that condition or those things or obstacles may be, we ask that you, Lord, remove them and make him whole. Our soul praises you, O Lord. We will sing praises to you as long as we live. We will not put our trust in the government or in influential people. For when they die, their influence and power are all gone. We are blessed because we hope and trust in you. O God, who created the world and everything in it, you were a faithful God to our spiritual fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you remain unchanging and faithful to us in this century and to the end of time. You will uphold those of us who are weighed down with the cares of this world. You will feed those who are hungry with the bread of life. You set prisoners free with the assurance that their sins are forgiven and that you are in control of the events of their lives. You give sight of understanding to those who are blind in their sin. You lift up those who are bowed down, and you love those who are righteous. You watch over us aliens in a sinful world. and you are a father to the orphaned and a comforter to the widowed. You do not allow the plans of the wicked to flourish or to come to completion, and you will reign forever and for all generations. We will now, Lord, pray what you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please take your hymnals to page number 461, He Leadeth Me. 461. Now for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.